Welcome to today's edition of the Storefront Backtalk podcast series on security strategy and simplifying PCI. I'm Evan Schumann. It's the IT executive's most frightening public service announcement commercial. It's 2 a.m. Do you know where your data is? Far more often than most board of directors want to know, the answer is no. That might be because of a recent power outage and the lack of clarity on the policies of a mirror data site. What happens to the emergency backup disk after the crisis is over? Is there a firm policy on that? Or the missing data might be hidden away in a memory stick dropped behind an airplane seat cushion. Or it could be on a PDA stolen from the convention floor. A week of exhaustive data sanitation might be futile when a laptop carrying a copy of some forbidden credit card files is brought back in from home and resynced to the network, recontaminated the just sanitized database. Even more frightening, it might be a small marketing group that retains slices of credit card information for an experiment that was never approved by corporate, and that no one is going to remember until a cyber thief stumbles upon it in about 9 months. With us today to try and figure out if there even is a way for IT to regain control of their most sensitive data are two security veterans. We have with us today Mr. David Taylor, the founder of the PCI Knowledge Base, a former security analyst with Gartner, and most importantly, current PCI columnist with us right here at Storefront Backtalk. Joining Dave today is Mr. J.D. Oder, founder and chief technology officer for Shift4. Thank you, gentlemen, both for joining us today. J.D., let me ask you to dive in first. How much of this can be addressed by strict enforcement of policy as opposed to trying to change employee attitudes? In other words, attacking the human factors.
You can, of course, strictly enforce things. You can beat your employees over the head with a stick and try to keep them constantly towing the line. But I think at the end of the day, you can have a very, very positive, eager employee, you know, your $6 to $10 an hour clerk, you know, working at a retail store, and they can feel that they're doing everything right. You know, they're using the pens on the dollars, they're checking the credit cards, they're making sure that they look at everybody's driver's licenses perfectly. They do everything right. But I think it's more about the fact that they did everything perfect, but then the infrastructure failed. I think the challenge we run into with policy is that policy are words, and they are, and it's the actions, ability to basically stay focused that on a day-to-day basis. When you have an individual, let's say an IT person, and that person is in control of this data, you know, again, IT people are people. They make mistakes, and when you make a mistake, that's where breaches occur. And so what your goal is, I think, in any kind of PCI simplification process, is to try to come up with solutions, and it's a systemic approach. It's not just about policy. It's about coming up where putting technology in place that's things like the standard stuff that we hear about in the PCI, such as intrusion detection and firewalls and these sorts of things. But it also plays into technologies such as what Shift4 offers, such as tokenization and our Forgo card information replacement technologies, simply because what you want to do is try to remove the data when possible. When it's not possible, take the approach that encryption where it's necessary, and that really is the only way you can do it, is to take that whole systemic approach.
Dave, what do you think? Is that the best way to go?
Well, I think we can actually attribute the whole problem to Al Gore and Bill Gates. Basically, it's Al Gore's fault for bringing us the internet, and Bill Gates' fault for bringing us the PC. Because, you know, back in my day, when we all had mainframes and 3270 terminals, we didn't have these kind of problems. And, you know, facetiousness aside, essentially one of the ways to do this is to move back to an architecture with centralized computing and virtual terminal devices. And so the less storage you put in the hands of individual employees, the less likely they are to be able to put data in a whole bunch of places, whether that's USB sticks or on their PCs or in their email messages that are sitting on servers all scattered over creation. The point is, it's going to be incredibly expensive to do this. Nobody's going to do it. And so the bottom line is, assuming that we're not going to change out our corporate architectures and head back to the 1960s and our DeLoreans, what we really need to do is look at how we reduce the volume of data that is all over the place. And purging it, finding it, purging it, is a necessary thing. Whether you're talking about creating data flow diagrams by interviewing 40 or 50 people in an organization, or whether you're talking about disabling individual end-user functionality so they can't right-click on files, save them to their disk, so they can't capture screens with credit card numbers or other numbers on it and save it to their disk, or so they can't do a bunch of things that locally save information that really doesn't belong in a local location. What you really need to do, assuming that you try all those things and you try to educate people and all this other stuff that JD mentioned, where you're really headed for is you need to move this data to as central a location as possible. That may be in a corporate environment, that may be in a third party that has access to your data, but controls that access much more strictly than the typical retailer can possibly manage. But that's kind of where we have to head with this. We either have to go back into the past, or we have to greatly confine the data that we have here in the present to as few locations as possible, once we can find it.
It's a very, very difficult decision. So I remember talking to a CIO about 2 months ago, and he was saying, yes, on the one hand, it's easy to be in the security policy meetings and to maintain a very strict policy on data retention and how we handle it. And yet, the same person being so strict on a Friday night saw two employees going back, and they were bringing home laptops filled with data. I said, well, don't you want to discourage that? I said, no, I know what we said in the meetings, but I'd rather they get all this work done. We're really behind schedule on three different projects. So you've ultimately got to make the decision of the efficiency and the workforce ability to get stuff done, or do you strictly adhere to security? Because there is a cost to this.
Well, I think one of the things that you run into, though, is you have to think about what is the data being used for. And yeah, you know, I mean, that's an interesting argument in saying, well, yeah, people take this data home. First off, if we're talking about payment data, and I think that's what we're talking about here, right, we have to make sure that people aren't going to be taking payment data home on their laptops. I mean, these are things. One thing we've got to do is we have to identify why it is. Let's say they are doing it for marketing or something of that nature. We have to determine, you know, how are they utilizing this data, and is there something else that we can utilize instead? Things like appropriate hashing algorithms, data in a different form that represents the same data, but cannot ever be used as payment data nor stolen. Mechanisms such as tokenization, where you've got card replacement technologies, that sort of thing. Things like Shift4's own Forgo solution, where we can actually take the data directly from the swipe device and immediately encrypt it, you know, for end-to-end encryption technologies. We've got to take some of these kinds of things out of the hands. And I hate to sound that we have to be a bit parental, but I think in many ways, it really behooves those of us in the card payment space to try to come up with mechanisms for point-of-sale systems as well as for the merchants in general to be able to explain to them how they can perform the same actions that they've always performed, but utilizing a number that ultimately a number or a representation that basically can't be stolen. I mean, the goal is if they don't have it, it can't be stolen. And so That's ultimately what we're trying to do. Now, when you start getting into other types of provocative data, we have to discuss that as well. And I think the key here is to look at this as a very, very corporate-wide systemic type approach and look at all of the data that you're storing, including payment data.
Excellent. Well, I think that's a very, very interesting point, and it's a matter of whether discipline or IT rationale survives. Appreciate your time very much, Dave and JD. Thank you so very much for your thoughts today. A fascinating discussion, and we'll be continuing this series on the next segment. For the Storefront Backtalk podcast series on security strategy and simplifying PCI, I'm Evan Schumann.